This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu wa sallama wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. All praise is due to Allah. We praise Him. We seek His help. We ask Allah for His forgiveness and for His mercy. We seek refuge in Allah from the evil of our own selves and from the evils of our wrong actions. Whomsoever Allah guides, none can lead astray. Whomsoever is left to go astray, none other than Allah can guide them. I bear witness and I testify that there is no deity, no God that is worthy of worship but Allah. And I bear witness and I testify that Prophet Muhammad, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him and upon all of the previous prophets and messengers, that he is the final messenger, the final prophet, the seal of the prophets and messengers that was sent, that was commissioned by God, that was commissioned by Allah to all of mankind. Brothers and sisters in Islam, ladies and gentlemen, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Today, inshallah ta'ala, we are talking about a very important topic, a topic that is should be indeed to every Muslim, male or female, the old and the young. And the topic is dua, which means supplication or invocation or beseeching Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all times. Now, in Islam, dua or calling upon Allah is deemed as an act of worship. So even though you're asking for yourself or for your community or for somebody else, that is actually deemed an act of worship. And the evidence for this, the Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, he said, "Ad-du'a'u huwa al-ibadah." That dua is ibadah, and ibadah means worship. So a very clear-cut hadith about this that we find in Sunan al-Tirmidhi, that dua is ibadah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He loves it when we ask Him, because that actually shows the relationship between the abd and the ma'bud, the slave and the one that is that the one Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who deserves to be asked. So it is encouraged in Islam to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with respect to all things, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He becomes angry when we don't ask Him. Now we have a verse from the Quran whereby Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ أُدُعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. In Surah Ghafir, chapter 40, in the 60th verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and your Lord said, invoke me and I will respond to your invocation. So, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, there are many dua that we find that have been articulated by the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, that are very comprehensive, that are very beneficial, that are very therapeutic, at least for the soul and for physical ailments. So, Alhamdulillah, the concept of dua and calling upon Allah is not only limited to prayers, that is, words that we say within the prayer, but it's also something that we do outside of prayer, that we do in many aspects of our lives. SubhanAllah, we have a dua, you know, even before entering the lavatory, even before relieving yourself, you call upon Allah and you ask Allah to protect you from the evil that may be lurking in these dirty places, okay, in the toilet. So, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-khubthi wal-khaba'ith. When you leave the toilet, ghufranak, before you have intimate relations, you know, you ask Allah to protect, you know, you and your offspring from the shaitan, from the devil. We have a dua when you come to, when you ride your car, to ask Allah, you know, again, we're putting our trust in the Creator. And that's what Islam is about. Islam is about that we have a connection directly with the Almighty, directly with Allah. We don't need a middle person. We don't worship Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Okay, so this is the beautiful thing about Islam and the concept of monotheism and tawheed, that Allah alone deserves to be worshipped. Yet at the same time, we acknowledge prophets, we acknowledge messages, okay, and we give them their status without overstepping the boundaries. So today, inshallah ta'ala, I'm going to share with you 14 I'm going to share with you 14 manners, what we call in Islam, adab. Adab al-du'a. Adab or manners, etiquettes related to du'a. So how can we ensure that our du'a is going to be accepted by the Almighty? What are the things that we can do that will, inshallah ta'ala, ensure that du'a, that our supplications are going to be answered by God, that are going to be answered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now today, inshallah ta'ala, before I do that, I just wanted to mention that Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala, in his book Riyadu al-Salihin, he has a book that is Kitab al-Da'awat, which is a book related to supplications, but he has a few chapters specific to this area. Now, the first chapter, he says, Babu Fadl al-Du'a bi Dhahri al-Ghayb, the virtue or the excellence of supplicating in one's absence. You see, Islam is not about being self-centered. Islam is not about being selfish. Islam is about loving for your brother, loving for your sister what you love for yourself. And when we hear of somebody that is going through a difficult time, a challenging time, then we make du'a for them. Okay, and so here we have a number of verses and a number of hadiths. Now, the first ayah that Imam al-Nawawi included is the ayah whereby Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ جَاءُوا مِن بَعْدِهِمْ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا وَلِإِخْوَانِنَا الَّذِينَ سَبَقُونَ بِالْإِيمَانِ. And those who came after them, they say, our Lord, رَبَّنَا, our Lord. Okay, forgive us and our brethren who have preceded us in faith. So when we ask for forgiveness, we also ask that Allah forgives those others who preceded us. So again, that displays this unity of Islam, unity of Muslims, and that's what it's about. We have another verse here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لِذَنْبِكَ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ, that and ask forgiveness for your sin and also for the sin of believing men and believing women. So a very clear-cut verse. It's not just asking for Allah to forgive you, but to forgive others around you as well. Now, I'm going to move on, because this is a loaded topic. SubhanAllah, Islam is so beautiful that you can actually dwell on so many of these points in these verses and these signs and these hadiths. But the next ayah that I want to touch on is the ayah that is found in Surah Ibrahim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيَّ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَوْمَ يَقُومُ الْحِسَابِ. Our Lord, forgive me and my parents and all the believers on the day when reckoning will be established. So the day that counts the most is the day of judgment. That's when we want to be forgiven and cleansed and purified of our sin. And we don't want to be standing before Allah with this, you know, load, these loads of sin, because it's these sins that can end us into destruction, into the hellfire. So very clear cut verses about the importance of asking forgiveness for other people. You know, you're talking to someone, they're telling you a problem, I'm going through a depressive moment, you know, I'm going through a trialing moment. When you leave that conversation or that dialogue, straight away make dua for that person. Say, Ya Allah, you know, help him, relieve his pain, relieve his suffering, compensate him for his loss. You know, let's really be true brothers and true sisters in faith. And now, what's interesting, subhanAllah, what's beautiful about Islam also, is that when you make dua for others, the very fact that you've done so, you will be compensated. And in this next hadith displays this. And it's the hadith that is found in Sahih Muslim. Abu Darda, one of the Sahaba, he said, I heard Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that whenever a Muslim supplicates for his Muslim brother in his absence, the angels say, may the same be for you too. مَا مِنْ عَبْدٍ مُسْلِمٍ يَدْعُوا لِأَخِيهِ بِظَهْرِ الْغَيْبِ إِلَّا قَالَ الْمَلَكُ وَلَكَ بِمِثْلِ. You see, angels, one of the roles of angels, when they listen to a dua, when they hear it, they actually say, and you know, right back at you, you know, and same for you. Okay, that's what the angels do. And this is a hadith that's testimony to this. Now, when you make dua behind your brother's back, dua for him, of course, and not against him. Okay? You know, you don't want to be making dua against anybody. Okay? So in this dua of Abu Darda radiallahu in this hadith of Abu Darda, also found in Sahih Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said the supplication of a Muslim for his Muslim for his brother in his absence will certainly be answered. Will certainly be answered. Every time he makes a supplication for good for his brother, the angel appointed for this particular task. So there is an angel that is appointed regarding this. He says, Ameen. Now what does Ameen mean? You know, we have it in English, Amen. Okay, Ameen means, oh Allah, oh God, yani istajib, yani oh Allah, answer this supplication. That's what Ameen means. So when people are saying Ameen, you know, you're saying, oh Allah, accept. Now when we read Al-Fatiha, Ameen isn't part of Al-Fatiha, by the way. Some people might think that Ameen is part of Fatiha. It's not. It's just basically saying, Ya Allah, accept. It's not a verse of Surah Al-Fatiha. And really, it should be restricted to the Salah. So when the Imam says, Wala Dhalin, okay, you say, Ameen. Now, Ameen should only be said two counts. Ameen. Now, the mean part can be extended for 2, 4, or 6 counts. Okay? As per the rules of tajweed, of recitation, reciting the Qur'an. So, Ameen, it's wrong when many Muslims, they say, Ameen. That's not, you've violated tajweed rules, and you need, I think, a refresher, okay? Or a 101, a tajweed 101 course, you know? So, just take it easy on your Ameens. Don't get too carried away. It's just Ameen. Okay, or you know, depending on how long you prolong the mean part. Now, Imam an-Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, "Babun fi masailin min ad-du'a." He says some verdicts pertaining to a supplication to supplications. Now, he begins with a du'a that really shouldn't be undermined or underestimated. A very beautiful du'a. And we all know this du'a, by the way, as Muslims, okay? It's the hadith of Usama ibn Zayd, radiallahu anhuma. Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, مَنْ صُنِعَ إِلَيْهِ مَعْرُوفًا فَقَالَ لِقَائِلِهِ جَزَاكَ اللَّهُ خَيْرًا وَجَزَاكَ اللَّهُ خَيْرًا فَقَدْ أَبْلَغَ فِي الثَّنَاءِ. That whoever has had a favor done to them or for them, whoever is favored by another, you should say to the benefactor, you should say to them, Jazakallahu khairan. What does that mean? You hear it a lot. You know, Jazakallah mean, may Allah reward you, or may Allah compensate you with goodness. That's a dua. So if someone does an act of kindness towards you, and you are not able to reward them or compensate them financially or through an actual gift, the very least that you can say is make a dua for them, you know, and say Jazakallahu khaira, may Allah compensate you with goodness. Because Allah may answer this supplication, this dua, and Allah amazes you with His blessing or with His bounty. So don't underestimate words of thanks. And this is part of the character of a Muslim. Part of the character of a Muslim is that he shows his gratitude towards people. Okay? And we have the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There is this hadith and the other one, مَنْ صُنِعَ إِلَيْكُمْ مَعْرُوفًا فَكَافِئُهُ. That whoever does an act of kindness towards you, you should show your gratitude towards them by compensating them. So, and when we thank others, this is a sign of your thankfulness towards Allah. Man lam yashkuri nasa lam yashkuri Allah. That whoever doesn't show their gratitude and thanks towards people, he is not of those who show their gratitude towards Allah. So yes, thank people. Say thank you. You don't know Jazakallahu khairan. You know thank you. You know, a thank you is very powerful, that you're acknowledging the good that person is doing for you, that he's done out of his goodwill and his kindness. And when you are from amongst the shakirun or the shakirin, or those who show their gratitude, Allah will give you more. Allah says in the Quran, وَلَئِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ, that when you show your thankfulness, when you show your gratitude, Allah will give you more. So we have to be from amongst those who are thankful towards Allah. Thankfulness, not only with our tongues, but also with our hearts and with our wealth and with our time. This is how we show thanks towards others, inshallah ta'ala. So, very powerful dua. Jazakallahu khairan and jazakumullahu khairan for listening to me. Okay. Now, another very important dua. Okay. Don't curse yourselves or others. You might regret it. Okay. There is a hadith that is found in Sahih Muslim. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, do not invoke curses on yourself or on your children or on your possessions, lest you should happen to do it at a moment when the supplications are accepted and your prayer might be granted. So you know, some people when they're angry, you know, and they start to go off with the curses and the hand movement goes up and all those. You know, if you start to do that, you might be making a dua against yourself or against others, that Allah, the doors of dua are open. And guess what happens? That dua is accepted and you've gone cursing yourself. And therefore, you will be deprived of a blessing. Okay, or a calamity may befall you or your children. Okay, I don't know about in other languages. I know that the Lebanese culture or some of the Arab culture, maybe not specifically the Lebanese, but you know, if they're angry with their children, they say to their children, Allah yaghdab alaik. You know, they say, Allah yaghdab alaik. Yani, may Allah yani be angry with you. You know, may Allah's anger come down upon you. I don't know, we have some Indonesians in the audience. Do you have anything similar to this? Huh? Maybe our people from Thailand, do you have anything similar to this? Maybe our Aussie friends? No, nothing? Okay, so the Arabs really have got it wrong. So they have to change, you know. They can't do this. You can't say, Allah yaghdab alaik. You know, may Allah's anger be upon you. This is your son. You're having a weak moment. Okay, you know, take it easy. Where's your patience? Where's your sabr? Okay, you know. So this is something to take heed of. So there are times where dua is highly accepted, okay, and this is probably one of the manners that you know we can include in the 14. Maybe we can make it 15 because I can't remember including it in the 14. But let's make it 15, inshallah ta'ala, so it can be an odd number. And that is that dua should be made. I mean, it can be made at any time, but more specifically, there are times that dua is accepted. Like for example, there's an hour on Friday, okay, that when you ask Allah Azza wa Jal, your dua is highly accepted. And most scholars are of their opinion that it's between Asr time and sunset, okay, Maghrib time. And others they say it's from when the Imam, you know, is on the minbar or after he sits, or until the Salah on Yom al-Jum'ah. So there are some difference of opinion about when this hour, this period of time whereby dua is accepted. Okay. Likewise, the third part of the night when everybody's asleep and you decide to get up and you make, you know, dua to Allah, your dua is highly accepted. Likewise, we're going to see that before you say assalamu alaikum in your salah and you've said your Ibrahimiyya or your Darud Sharif, as some people call it, okay, when you say a dua at that moment, this is the dubur, this is the end of the salah, this is also a moment that you want to capture. Another moment is in your sujood. Okay, another moment when you're in prostration, you're very close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another moment is at the time of breaking your fast. Another moment is when you are a traveler. When you are a traveler, your dua is highly accepted. Another moment would be between the adhan and between the iqamah. Between adhan and iqamah, the Prophet ﷺ recommended that you make dua between these two times. Okay, so you know, the dua of an oppressed person, the Prophet ﷺ, he said, beware of the dua, of the supplication of the oppressed, for there is no barrier between it and Allah. Because that person is now being oppressed. And Allah wants to make this person compensate him for his oppression. So we have to really be careful sometimes, you know, and make the most out of these moments, insha'Allah ta'ala. Now, the dua whereby the Prophet ﷺ in Sahih Muslim, he said, أَقْرَبُ مَا يَكُونُ الْعَبْدُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ وَهُوَ سَاجِدٍ فَأَكْثِرُ الدُّعَاءِ. He said, the closest time a abd, a slave, is near to Allah is when he is in prostration, so increase supplications in prostrations. So when you're in sujood, lots of dua. You know, yes, there's difference of opinion amongst the ulama whether you can, you know, you can say it in a foreign language other than Arabic. And some ulama, to really consolidate, they said, well, you know, maybe you should just limit that to the sunnah salah, to the optional salat, and not the fard salah. Okay, and then in the fard salah, just restrict yourself to the dua of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Arabic duas that we know from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And also when it comes to dua, and this is one of the etiquettes that we'll talk about, is not to be hasty. Don't be hasty. You know, subhanAllah, we've become a drive-through generation. Really, I mean, we want everything express mode, we want it right now, we're not willing to wait. You know, Islam really is all about patience. Okay, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, You know, it took him, you know, he did dawah for 23 years. I mean, tawheed was just being, and monotheism was being propagated for 13 years before he went on to the other aspects of the deen. Nothing really happens overnight. If you think about anybody who's successful, if you think about any of the victories of Islam, they happened over time. Okay, they don't happen, you know, success doesn't really happen overnight unless Allah Azza wa Jalla has decreed it to be so. And that's not hard for Allah. The Prophet ﷺ in this dua that we find in Bukhari and Muslim, he said, the supplication of every one of you will be granted if he does not get impatient and say, I supplicated my Lord, but my prayer has not been granted. So you know, there's people that say, you know, I've made dua, that's it. It's not being answered. Well, keep on making dua until the moment comes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will will honor your dua. Another hadith, the supplication of a slave continues to be granted as long as he does not supplicate for a sinful thing or for something that would cut off the ties of kinship, and he does not grow impatient. And it was said, O Messenger of Allah, what does growing impatient mean? He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, it is one saying, I supplicated again and again, but I do not think that my prayer will be answered. Then he becomes frustrated in such circumstances, and he gives up the supplication altogether. Okay, so again, my dear brothers and my dear sisters in Islam, okay, you never know why Allah is delaying your supplication. You might want something so badly, but there is a reason. See, Allah is your wise. God is your wise. He knows. How many times have we wanted something and we go, oh, luckily that didn't happen, you know, because I found something better. Maybe Allah's prepared something better for you. Have a positive opinion when it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And don't be hasty. Okay? It may well be that that which you deem as being good is actually bad. And that which you deem as being bad is actually good. Also, what we learn is that the best time, as I said earlier, there's a hadith here, the best time to make dua, the Prophet ﷺ, he said, or he was asked, at what time does the supplication find the greatest response? It's a very good question. It shows you the intelligence of the Sahaba, they ask the right questions. And he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, a supplication made during the middle of the last part of the night and after the conclusion of the obligatory prayers. So, the last part of the night. You know, again, because that shows your sincerity and it shows your devotion and it shows your commitment. You see, I can make a dua right now. You know, it's very easy. But when you set up your alarm clock and you're going to leave and forsake your bed, you're going to forsake your comfort, okay? And you're prepared to do all that, and you're going to get up, and you're going to make wudu ablution, and you're going to pray, and you're going to stand before Allah while everybody else is asleep. You know, that really says something. That really is a very powerful gesture and statement. So, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, this is the best time to make dua at night. Now, the next hadith What we learned that when it comes to dua, there are two possible scenarios. That either your dua is granted, or consequently, as a result of your dua, an evil is averted. Okay? But we're also going to learn, collectively looking at the teachings of Islam and the hadiths and what have you, okay, that really when it comes to dua, it's one of three things going to happen. That number one, your dua may be granted. Number two, an evil may be averted. Or number three, Allah saves it for you until the day of judgment and He compensates you right there. So when you make dua, your dua is never lost. It never goes without being rewarded in one way or another. So it's just up to me and you to make the dua, but with sincerity. The hadith is found in Sunan al-Tirmidhi. Whenever a Muslim supplicates Allah, He accepts his supplication or averts any similar kind of trouble from him until he prays for something sinful or something that may break the ties of kinship. Upon this, someone of the companions, he said, then we shall supplicate plenty. So Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah is more plentiful, in other words, in responding. You can keep on asking, but Allah will give you more. Okay? So let us remember that Allah will either grant your dua, or He removes some future trouble that was destined for you, or that He will grant us something in full in the hereafter, inshaAllah. Now, a dua, subhanAllah, this is a very important dua to memorize. If you haven't memorized this dua, a very important supplication. Again, prophetic gems, pearls of wisdom, therapeutic words by our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the dua of distress. How many of us, can honestly say we don't go through distress, that we don't go through trialing moments? You're honestly kidding yourself if you said you didn't. Okay, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as per the hadith of Ibn Abbas that is found in Bukhari and Muslim, authentic hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, لا إله إلا الله العظيم الحليم لا إله إلا الله العظيم الحليم لا إله إلا الله رب العرش العظيم لا إله إلا الله رب السماوات ورب الأرض ورب العرش الكريم. This is acknowledging Allah عز وجل. What does it mean? It means when you say لا إله إلا الله, it means that there is no God, no deity worthy of worship but Allah. This is what's beautiful about Islam. Complete and absolute monotheism. We acknowledge one God, one message that all of the prophets and all of the messengers brought to mankind to worship God, not to worship them. No prophet of Allah, no prophet of God ever said, worship me. Okay? And so we find that, alhamdulillah, this is a very beautiful dua that acknowledges that the oneness of Allah. None has the right to be worshipped but Allah, the incomparably great, the compassionate. None has the right to be worshipped but Allah, the Lord of the mighty throne. None has the right to be worshipped but Allah, the Lord of the heavens, the Lord of the earth, and the Lord of the honorable throne. Absolute monotheism, tawheed. Okay? And that's these words will remove your distress, inshallah. Because you know that everything that happens to you happens by the permission of Allah Azza wa Jal. So you put your faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you know that the only medicine, really the only medicine for your hardship and for your distress in during those difficult and challenging times, really the best medicine is the medicine of remembrance of Allah and remembering Allah and turning to Allah Azza wa Jal, because really He is the one that's going to help you in with regards to your distresses. So inshallah ta'ala, as I promised you, 14, but now we have 15 etiquettes, 15 manners or adab related to dua. 15 manners, 15 adab, matters, etiquettes that are related to supplication and invocation of Allah. Let's memorize them. Let's implement them, inshallah ta'ala. Let's know them. Let's implement them. And inshallah ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will answer our dua. Now, First of all, the one who's making dua needs to make sure that they have the proper tawheed, that they believe that يعني, in the oneness of Allah Azza wa Jal. Okay? Because we want to make sure that the dua is purely being addressed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in order for Allah to respond to the dua, it is very important that the person should be responding to his Lord by obeying him, not disobeying him. Now, we have a verse from Surah Al-Baqarah, chapter 2, verse 186. And when my slaves, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبُ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ. And when my slaves, they ask you, meaning they ask you, O Muhammad, concerning me, then answer them, I am indeed near. I respond to the invocations of the supplicant when he calls on me. So let them obey me and believe in me so that they may be led aright. So we have a duty to obey Allah and to fulfill our duties towards our Creator in the way that He wants us to worship Him and obey Him and love Him, not the way that يعني, we believe is the right way. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. We move on to the next one, number 2, sincerity, ikhlas. Ikhlas and making the dua purely to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not to a saint, not to a prophet, not to a grave, not to an idol. Okay? So that our dua is purely, directly. We don't need to have a middle person. Okay? And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ. In Surah Al-Bayyinah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it very clear, and they were commanded not but that they should worship Allah and worship none but Him. Okay, because dua is worship. We said ad-du'a'u huwa al-ibadah. Dua is worship, right? So if dua is worship, like any other act of worship, it must be stripped from all elements that are going to tarnish, okay, the sincerity and the ikhlas. We move on to number 3, after sincerity, that from the etiquettes that we should ask of Allah by His most beautiful names. Allah has names, Allah has attributes. So when you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you ask Him through His names. So if you want to ask for Allah's mercy, you say, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Irhamni. For example, O Merciful One. Okay, O one who is known for your, you know, O Allah, Ya Rahman is Allah's general mercy, Rahim, specific mercy. Irhamni, have mercy upon me. Okay, Ya Tawwab, O one who, O Allah, the one who repents, who is the one who forgives others, forgive me. Okay, so we use Allah's name, and we have a verse in the Quran whereby Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَادْعُوهُ بِهَا. So to Allah belongs the most beautiful names, so call upon Him through them, or through these names. Now, the fourth etiquette is we should praise Allah. So when you come to make a dua, praise Him. You know, say, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Praise Him. And we learn this through the hadith that is found in Sunan al-Tirmidhi. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, when one of you prays, let him start with praise of Allah. Then let him send blessings upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then let him ask whatever he likes after that. Then another man prayed after that, and he praised Allah, and he sent blessings upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, O worshipper, ask and you will be answered. So begin your dua by saying Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The next etiquette is to send peace and blessings upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this is etiquette number 5, and that is sending peace and blessings upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, every dua, every supplication is kept back or withheld until you send blessings upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this hadith is found in Tabarani. It's a sahih, it's an authentic hadith. Number 6, facing the Qibla. From amongst the manners and etiquettes, okay, is to face towards the direction of Qibla, direction of prayer. Does that mean if you don't know the direction of Qibla, you don't make dua? No, we're not saying that. But we're talking about now how to really ensure that your dua can be answered and by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now in the hadith that is found in Sahih Muslim, Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu wa arda, he says, on the day of Badr, this is the first battle of Islam, on the day of Badr, the Ma'rakatu Badr, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he looked at the mushrikeen, he looked at the polytheists, he looked at the enemy, who were 1,000 strong, and his companions numbered 319. The Sahaba were 319, as you know, the companions. This was the number of the army, 319 versus 1,000 strong. So then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he turned to face the Qibla. Then he stretched forth his hands and he started to cry out to his Lord. He said, "O Allah, grant me what you have promised me. O Allah, give me what you have promised me. O Allah, if this small band of Muslims perish, you will not be worshipped on earth." And he kept on crying out to his Lord, stretching forth his hands, facing towards the Qibla, until his cloak fell from off his shoulders. So we learn from this hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he faced the Qibla, the direction of prayer of the Muslims, which is facing towards Mecca, which is facing towards the Qibla. Islam is about unity, and it even unifies our direction of prayer. SubhanAllah. So imagine that you walk into a masjid, you see everything in Islam is so perfectly, it's in sync and in harmony. And we find, SubhanAllah, imagine like you walk into a house of worship and we have been mandated all to stand in one direction. Imagine that injunction did not exist. Right, what would happen? You'd walk into a masjid and there are people facing the west and the east and the south and the north. Okay? And facing in between those directions. But alhamdulillah, our Islam teaches us for our hearts to be united, for our prayers, unites us with our prayers, unites us with our acts of worship, unites us in the very position of how we stand before Allah, before our Creator. Jalla jalaluhu wa taqaddasat asma'uhu wa sifatuhu. Now Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullahu ta'ala, he said about this hadith, he says, this shows that it is mustahab. Mustahab means it's recommended to face the Qibla. The seventh etiquette regarding dua is raising the hands. Raising the hands. As per the hadith that is found in Sunan Abi Dawood, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Your Lord, may He be blessed and exalted, is kind and most generous. He is too kind to let His slave, if he raises his hands to Him, bring them back empty." You see, when you raise your hands, okay, you're asking. And Allah becomes shy. Allah Azza wa Jal, He becomes shy not to give you something. You see, Allah is very generous, He's very kind. You raise your hands, okay, you raise your hands, and He wants to give you something. He wants to fill your hands with something. So He doesn't allow, that's why we said when it comes to dua, you know, one of three things can happen. Right? So by you gathering now your hands, okay, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sure to give you something. Now, the palms of the hands should be raised heavenwards in a manner of a humble beggar who hopes to be given something. Right? Now, there is a hadith that is found in Abu Dawood that is sahih, that when you ask Allah, ask of Him with the palms of your hands, not with the backs of them. So when you're coming to ask, you don't have your hands like this, but you have your hands like this. Okay? Now, the next question that many people may be posing is, should the hands be held together when you raise them, or should there be a gap between them? So should you do it this way or do it that way? SubhanAllah, the scholars have commented about this. And Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala, he said in his Sharh al-Mumti', he said that they should be held together. They should be held together, that is more complete, that you hold them together. And we see this we see this also before you go to sleep, before the Prophet ﷺ, he went to sleep, he gathered his palms together. And he blew in them and he read the three quls and he wiped his body. So we do see that in the action of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he said regarding the separating of the and holding them apart from one another, he said there's no basis for that in the sunnah or in the words of the scholars. Number eight, the eighth etiquette is having certain faith that Allah will respond, and focusing with the proper presence of the mind. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the hadith that is found in Sunan al-Tirmidhi, he said, call upon Allah when you are certain of a response, and remember that Allah will not answer a dua that comes from a negligent and heedless heart. Look at the comprehensiveness of Islam, the comprehensive teachings, that even to the extent, it's not just about calling upon Allah, but it's about having a present mind, a present heart. It's about being sincere. It's about purely focusing on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So having that focus is very, very, very important for the acceptance of your dua. Okay, and this hadith is a very important hadith, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not accept the dua of a heedless person who's not really thinking about it. They're just words coming out of his mouth. No, there should be conviction, the presence of the mind, presence of the heart. Thinking about your words and your choice of words, and including the praise of Allah. So starting with the praise of Allah, sending peace and blessings upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Number nine, the ninth etiquette is that you ask frequently. Don't be just, I've made dua, I've said it once. Okay? Maybe he didn't have a present mind. Maybe it wasn't a time where dua is highly accepted. Okay? So frequency is very important. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said in the hadith that is found in Bukhari and Muslim, he said the slave will receive a response so long as his dua does not involve sin or severing of family ties. And so long as he is not hasty. So if you make a dua against your family members, that dua is not accepted. Okay. Likewise, if it involves a dua that you ask Allah to help you commit a sin, that dua is not accepted. Okay. So it was said, what does being hasty mean? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, when he says, I made a dua and I have not seen any response, and he gets frustrated and he stops making dua. So we shouldn't stop, inshallah ta'ala. The tenth etiquette is he should be firm in his dua. The Prophet ﷺ said, no one of you should say, oh Allah, forgive me if you wish. Oh Allah, have mercy on me if you wish. He should be firm in his asking, for Allah cannot be compelled. So when you come to make dua, say, inshallah, ya Allah, if you wish. Now be firm. It's not difficult for Allah. Say, ya Allah, give me this. Ya Allah, ward away this harm. Ya Allah, bless me with that. So don't say inshallah. Ya Allah, give me something inshallah, if you wish. It becomes weak. You want it to be a strong dua. That ya Allah, you might want to ask, ya Allah, if this is good for me, if you know that this is good for me. See, this is now dependence. This is tawakkul. This is having yaqeen, certainty in Allah. That ya Allah, if you know that this is good for me, then please bless me with it. Ya Allah, if you know that this is not good for me, I don't want anything to do with it. And that's where istikhara also comes into it. Okay, that the dua or the hadith of divine guidance. Number 11 is beseeching Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by way of humility. Humble yourself. Okay, and at the same time, have the hope, in Allah answering, and have the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says in the Quran, in Surah Al-A'raf, ادعوا ربكم تضرعا وخفيا. Call upon your Lord in humility and in secrecy, or in privately. So again, being humble when you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number 12, the 12th etiquette, okay, saying the dua three times. So repetition of dua and supplication is very important, very powerful regarding your dua. As we find in Bukhari and Muslim, there was an incident that many of you may know, that at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet was in front of the Kaaba. He was in front of the Kaaba, and he was in the sujood position. He was praying, and then Abu Jahl, he was a big enemy of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Islam, and some of his friends were sitting nearby, and they had actually slaughtered a camel the previous day. And Abu Jahl said, which of you will go and get the abdominal contents of the camel, the placenta, and the abdominal the contents of this camel. And put it on the back of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, when he's prostrating. So go and when he's in the prostration, go and just dump it on his back. Okay? So then one of these evil people, one of them, they actually did that. And then someone went to call Fatima radiallahu anha, the daughter of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and she went with one of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's wives, Juwayriya, and she lifted it from him, and then he turned and he rebuked them. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he finished his salah, he raised his voice. He raised his voice and he prayed against them, and he made du'a, or he asked Allah, and he would repeat it three times. Oh Allah, punish the Quraysh. Oh Allah, punish the Quraysh. Oh Allah, punish the Quraysh. Okay, and he said this three times, and his voice was heard. And subhanallah, when they heard his voice, they stopped laughing and were afraid because of his dua. He's a messenger of Allah, he's a prophet. So then he said, oh Allah, punish Abu Jahl ibn Hisham. And he mentioned the names of these people. And he mentioned seven of them. And subhanAllah. And then it was said, by the one who sent Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this dua, in this hadith, with the truth, I saw those whom he had named slain on the day of Badr. Then they were dragged and thrown into the well of Badr. So those people, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he made dua against them. They were all slain. Okay, they all got killed in the Battle of Badr. Okay, number 13, from amongst the etiquettes of dua, ensuring that your food, that your drink, that your clothing, that your shelter is from halal sources, from permissible sources. Not to have haram, not to have nourished your body on the haram. Okay, if you want your dua to be accepted, keep away from haram, keep away from prohibitions. Okay, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, O people, Allah is good and does not accept anything but that which is good. And Allah enjoins upon the believers the same as he enjoined upon the messengers. Then he mentioned a man who travels for a long distance and he's disheveled and he's dusty. His hair is all out. And he says, Ya Rabb, wa mat'amuhu haram, wa malbasuhu wa mashabuhu haram, wa malbasuhu haram, wa ghudhiya bil haram. Fa anna yustajabu lah. Ulidhalik, the Prophet ﷺ said, he mentioned a man who's traveling. Remember we said that the dua of a traveler is accepted, right? So this man, he's a traveler and he's in need. You know, his hair's all out, his clothes is dusty, and he says, Ya Allah, Ya Allah. But at the same time, his food is from haram, his drink is from haram, his clothing is from haram, he's been nourished by haram, forbidden, prohibited means. The Prophet ﷺ said, how is this man's dua going to be accepted? So that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said to one of the Sahaba, he said to him, "Atib mat'amak takun mustajabu da'wa." He said, "Make sure that your ta'am is pure, is good, and your du'a will be accepted." We have to check those things around us and make sure that we everything is from halal and not from haram. And also from amongst the etiquettes, this is the 14th one that I have. And that is saying dua silently and not out loud. Okay? And again, we read, for example, in the chapter of Maryam, the chapter of Mary, the mother of Isa, the mother of Jesus. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon our Prophet Jesus, our Prophet Isa alayhi salam. So in the chapter of Maryam, of Mary, chapter 19, verse 3, we read that Zakariya, okay? He said, إِذْ نَادَ رَبَّهُ نِدَاءً خَفِيًّا, that when he called his Rabb, when he called upon Allah, okay, when he called upon his Lord, he called him in secret. You don't have to, you're not, you know, Allah hears your dua. Okay, you don't have to raise your voice. You make a dua. Remember we said, be sincere, be humble, have the hope, have the fear of Allah Azza wa Jal. So these are etiquettes of dua. Okay, and the 15th one that we said was before is choosing or taking advantage of the appropriate and or the times where dua is highly accepted. And we mentioned a number of them earlier on in this presentation. Jazakum Allahu khairan, barakallahu fikum. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept our supplications, to accept our dua, to accept our invocations. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us, to all that which He loves, which He rewards for. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to direct us towards all of the actions and all of the sayings that will ensure the pleasure of Allah and not His anger, and that will ensure our savior from the hellfire and our entrance into the Jannah and protection from the grave. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Protection of the punishment of the grave. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Wa sallallahu wa sallama wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.